pupils of his eyes are actually carved in a shape.
What?
Did you know this?
No.
Yeah, they're in the shape of a heart. I don't know
why. What, is he a Disney character?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I'm a science teacher.
I'm Cheryl, and I slept through science.
Each episode, we'll tackle a science question you may have learned in school, but can't quite remember or fully explain.
And I'll take the risk of asking the dumb questions so that we can all understand the science we slept through.
The bell has rung. Let's get started.
Welcome to Lesson 68. Today, we're going to do something a little different. So today, I think what we're going to do is combine travel and science.
Oh my gosh, it's your two loves.
It's, well, two of my loves. I mean, Star Wars too.
Okay, fair. I mean, did you like see any Ewoks on this trip or?
Did I see any Ewoks? I did not see any Ewoks on this trip. I'm trying to think, did I integrate Star Wars anywhere on this trip? I can't.
Did you bring any of your Star Wars t-shirts?
Yes.
Did you bring your R2-D2 yes. lunchbox?
No, I did not bring my R2-D2, okay. But I did wear Star Wars t-shirts. That definitely did happen.
Congrats. Yep.
Thank you.
There we go.
Thank you.
So yeah, we're releasing this episode on both feeds. So if you normally listen to Take Me With You, hello, we are here. If you're normally on I Slept Through Science, we're here as well. And we thought, you know, we used to have a travel podcast. Now mm-hmm. we have a science podcast. Mm-hmm. And we really wanted to do a trip report of your trip. And so we're like, well, but I don't know. It was like, how do we share about this and everything? And it's science related too.
It is. It is. This was a trip that I did with students from school. We took 24 students during spring break, and it was a science themed trip. So not everything that we did was related to science, but me and two of the other chaperones, we're all science teachers, and we travel together. We take students to try and show them cool science things, while also experiencing other parts of the world and other cultures. And so it's a really cool kind of mesh of those two things, like you mentioned earlier. And it was very, very cool.
I love that. So we always start with you and I, when we do trip reports, with asking, what was the highlight?
Yeah, and that's hard to pick just one thing. I will say, of all the places we went, and I'll give you the overview of everywhere we went in just a minute, but I think Florence for me in Italy was definitely a highlight, as far as it was definitely my favorite city that we went to. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of reasons for it, but one of the reasons is it was pretty unique just in architecture and things like that compared to a lot of the other places we went. It was pretty unique. And I really enjoyed Florence. So that was definitely a highlight.
Nice. Well, and what was the low?
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of combine a couple of things or I'll just say it in one thing. The low was students. And not all of the students. Most of the students were fabulous. We just had a couple of students who got sick partway through at different moments, which was obviously nobody's fault. But that
just sucks. Being sick when you're traveling
It's not good. And then, of course, we had to leave chaperones back at the hotel if they were too sick to be there. So then we had to rearrange schedules, and people had to miss parts of the thing and stay back at the hotel, which wasn't any fun.
Yeah.
And then we had a student behavior issue that we had to deal with that was also not fun. Thankfully, everything resolved itself before the end of the travel. The student got things together. The students who were sick got better enough to join the rest of the group. So it wasn't this like terrible thing, but that was definitely the low of the trip.
Yeah, that sucks. If you're like, I want to be the kind of teacher who gets to travel with their students and show them really cool things. But then you also had to be the kind of the teacher who took care of people and disciplined people and things like that.
Yeah. Less fun, but unfortunately.
But at least you got to do it in Europe.
That's right.
That's the Ryan Palmer phrase, right?
It is. That's definitely true.
Oh, man. So I want to hear, first of all, just like big, before we get into details and what these really cool science things were, like itinerary, what's like our overview of where you went?
Yes. It was spring break, like I said, and we left 2 days early, which meant it was a little bit more than a week. So we left on a Thursday, and then we came back a week plus on a Sunday. Okay. And we flew out of Seattle into Amsterdam, and then Amsterdam to Athens. So we started the trip in Athens. We were there for 3 nights. Then we did an overnight ferry. So we drove across Greece, did an overnight ferry from Greece to Italy. It's one side of Italy. And then drove across Italy, kind of the south end of Italy, to Sorrento. And we were there for 1 night. Okay. Then we drove up to Rome, stopped at Pompeii on the way, and went up to Rome. We were there for 2 nights. Then took the high-speed train from Rome to Florence, and we were there for 2 nights. And then we flew home. So it was a bit of a whirlwind.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of locations for that timeline. I've done that speed, and like I got sick when I did a trip like that. So, So then, were there science aspects of each of these locations? Or were some of them just like, let's go be a tourist in this?
Some of them were just, let's go be a tourist. There were not science things at absolutely every stop, but there were some key ones. For example, in Athens, we went to the Athens Observatory.
Oh my God.
Which is, actually, it had some things that I don't think I knew, and it was actually very cool. But it's up, first of all, it's up on a hill that overlooks Athens, which is amazing. So the view was great. And we got there early before it was time for our tour to start. And we were able to kind of like walk around and found this kind of like back hill area that had an amazing view of parts of the city of Athens. You could see the Mediterranean from there, and then also the Acropolis, which is the big giant mountain, well, not mountain, but like big hill that has the Parthenon on the top. So I'm going to bore you and show you some pictures now.
And this is the time where, while Ryan's sharing his screen, for I Slept Through Science listeners, they're very used to me reminding you that you can check out our podcast on YouTube if you want to see these things. But if you have only listened, I take me with you. First of all, subscribe to I Slept Through Science. It's also a fun podcast. But just on YouTube, find us. We're there. And then you can see Ryan's photos that way.
Yes.
Look, it's you.
It's me. Look, I'm actually there. I wasn't lying.
Okay, now there's proof.
Now there's proof. So you can see over over on the right-hand side here, that's the Acropolis with the Parthenon on the top. And Athens, part of Athens, is all back there.
Wow. Oh, my
goodness. So, yeah, it was a really beautiful view. Let me see here. I zoomed in.
Wow. Kids being kids.
Uh-huh. And this was where the telescope was.
Okay.
Which was kind of cool. However, please look at the sky and tell me what you see.
Clouds. Oh no.
Clouds.
I was like, yeah, clouds. It took you a sec. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, so wait. Didn't this happen to you in Australia?
Mm-hmm. It rained. Mm-hmm.
When you were there for like a big eclipse or something?
Oh, well, yes, I did go for the eclipse, but we went to the observatory in Sydney.
Okay.
And the night we were there, it rained. Oh. And we did see the eclipse, but it was like cloudy for the first half of the eclipse. But that was not in Sydney. That was in a different spot. But yeah, I don't have great track record when it comes to that, unfortunately.
Aww.
So yeah, and it was pretty much cloudy the whole time that we were, we were there at the observatory, unfortunately.
Okay.
So we didn't get to they didn't open the dome. We didn't get to see anything, which was unfortunate. But we did get to see some really cool views. And one of the other things that's in the observatory that's really, really cool that I never really thought about or didn't know about is I think the first computer.
What?
Like, not computer. Don't think computer the way you're thinking computer. It's not like what we're using right now, because it's several thousand years old. But it's like an old mechanical device that had like wheels and gears and cogs and things that calculated astronomical events. And they don't have the original one in the observatory. They have the recreation. The original one is in a different museum, and it's like all rusted and things like that.
Yeah.
So it actually looked cooler in the museum. But it was wow. pretty impressive. So let me see if I can find a picture of that for you to see too.
Yeah. It just reminds me of my dad was telling me like of using computers in the 70s where like one computer would take up a whole room and you'd like come with your little disk to have it like do calculations for you. And that was like all it did.
Yeah, it's a little different than that, but yes. So this is obviously not the way it actually looked, the original one, because this is all on plexiglass. But you can see all the different wheels and cogs and all of the different things that are in writing on there. And it would calculate, I don't remember what all the things were. One of them would calculate like phases of the moon or eclipses
or
times or like time of year and all of these things. And it was incredibly amazing. Complex. Again, to be thousands of years old is really impressive to me.
You know what I love when you tell me about like historical science things is like, I mean, today we see the things that like great minds are doing, right? But it's so cool being like, well, there's always been great minds. Mm-hmm. And it's just they've done different things based on whatever time period they mm-hmm. were in. These scientific minds of whatever, wherever they found themselves in time, and they applied it and did really amazing things and discovered new things and like did these super complex things that must have been even harder because you didn't have the other technology to like support, you know. So it's like so amazing and really cool.
Yeah.
I love that. Nice. So that was like your science thing in Athens.
That was my science thing.
What else did
in Athens?
You do in Athens?
I want to show you one more picture.
Yes, please. Yes.
So
please.
Because after we were done, it was dark. And so this is that same location before, but now it's like night and you can see the Acropolis all lit up.
And
you can
city
see part of the city all lit up. It was beautiful. It was so gorgeous. And there was like nobody there. It was just us because you have to like
blue sky.
Make your way. Well, yeah, but not enough for us to actually see stuff, unfortunately. And the woman who gave us the tour, there were like issues, but she took us into the dome with the telescope. And one of the students asked like, well, like we know we can't look through it, but can you at least open the dome so we can like see what it looks like when the dome opens? And she was like, no. And we're like, okay.
I mean, great question for the student.
Fabulous question. Fabulous question.
Yeah. All right. What else happened in Athens?
The other things that we did, the highlights were definitely the Acropolis. So we did go up on the Acropolis, which was very cool. It was more than I understood because I knew the Acropolis was like a hill thing. And then I knew that the Parthenon, the kind of temple of, I don't remember who, Zeus maybe, I don't know, was up there. But there's multiple temples up there. It's not just one. And I didn't know that. And so that was very cool. And being able to kind of, again, see down to different parts of the city of Athens. It's very large. I think it has, like 3 million people, I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's a big city. It's a big city. And I think like 30% of all the population of all of Greece is in Athens.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. We got to do that in Athens. One of the other things that some of us did, we had a free afternoon where some people broke off, and this was one that some students came and did with me. They actually have a museum of illusions, like optical illusions. Like,
oh, I was picturing like magic tricks.
No, optical illusions.
I love optical illusions.
Yeah. And it was really cool because they had lots of different things. It was pretty interactive and it's relatively modern, which means it's built for taking pictures with your cell phone. They have certain things where they say, okay, they have a spot on the ground that has a picture of a camera. It's like, okay, the person with the camera stands here and then the other people stand here. And then you take the picture to do like the optical illusion.
Okay. I want to see.
Yeah.
This sounds
it was really,
really
cool. So let me see. What are some of the ones? This one was fun. There was a room that had like a bunch of mirrors in it. And so like it closes you in. So you go in the room and the door, the backside of the door has a mirror on it. And then I did a big selfie of us.
Oh my gosh.
And it looks like there's all of these people everywhere. which is really, really fun. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was this one where you, based on perspective, and I'll zoom this in a little bit, but
you look tiny.
It makes me look really, really tiny. And so that's my coworker, Ronica, and she is definitely shorter than I am. But in this, just because of the perspective and the way that it works, you can sort of see, if you look at my feet, you can see that my feet are actually at an angle. So the floor is actually sloped, but it's sloped and then goes away from you. So from this particular angle, it looks like the floor is flat, but it actually isn't. It's at an angle.
Wow.
And so it's an optical illusion. So I'm actually farther away from the camera than Ronica is. And that's why I'm smaller, because I'm farther away. But it looks like we're kind of in line with each other and that she's way bigger than me.
Even the cubes on the wall help with that too, though, right? Because they all look like they're the same size, but I'm guessing they're probably different sizes. This feels so like the Lord of the Rings, where you're like, how are those little hobbits? Like,
yes, that's exactly, forced perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they used a lot of these techniques in the Lord of the Rings films. Yeah,
that's so
absolutely
fun.
Yeah, it was super fun. Let's see, what's another one that was cool? Okay, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm actually going to share a video with you, which I don't know how well it's going to translate, but let me sort of just explain what you're going to see. It was this... It looked like a bridge, except it wasn't really, it wasn't above very much, in a cone, a cylinder shaped tunnel. So it's like a bridge that has like railings along the side, and you like walk through, and then there's this cylinder, but the cylinder is rotating while you're walking through. So you aren't moving at all. You're not rotating, but the cylinder around you is. Does that sort of make sense?
Kind of.
Okay, so let me play the video for you, and then we'll see. And you'll hear my commentary, because I am very vocal.
Oh my goodness! Wow. It does. It totally feels like we're spinning.
No, stare at the mirror, that's
why. Stare at the mirror?
Stare at these mirrors.
Oh my gosh. Am I?
Stare at the doorway.
Wait, what? I don't understand.
It makes you feel like you're still...
It does. It feels like I'm... But I'm not. Oh my gosh, this is so...
That's fantastic.
It totally does.
Do you go that way?
Do you go out that way? Wow, okay. That's so bizarre. It does, it looks like the door is rotating. Oh my goodness. Oh boy. Wow.
That's so funny.
So in the video, it doesn't look...
No.
Like, okay, yeah, there's this thing spinning around, but for
other than I see that your body keeps like tilting.
Yes, because I literally felt like I was moving over to the side. I felt, and like my body started to move over to the side as if I was falling over. I felt like I was falling over. It was so cool because I knew it wasn't real and like everything was safe.
Did you get dizzy?
I'll bet if I had stayed in there longer, I probably would have gotten dizzy.
Yeah. I feel like I would get dizzy there. Yeah. That's so fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was really fun. It was a really cool, I mean, you know, I think you had like a maximum of 50 minutes in there. They like timed how long you could be in there. It wasn't very big. I think we were probably done in like 30.
Okay.
But it was super fun and, you know, kind of sciencey, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
So
that when we talked about the dress that broke the internet, and you were showing me different illusions.
How much
it, like, your brain like fills things in that are not happening, but your brain's trying to like make sense of that or relate it to things that it knows. So that's really cool. Okay. Well, I think we need to move on to your next location.
No, I think you're right.
So then you drove and ferried and things.
We did. Now we drove across Greece. And we stopped partway through at Delphi. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Oracle at Delphi.
I've heard of Delphi.
But we stopped there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people might say it Delphi, but it's a ruin. And I love a good ruin.
Oh, you love a ruin.
I do. I love a good ruin. There was sort of a temple-y thing and lots of columns. I mean, that's a very Greek thing, right? Columns and all of these things. But it was just really, really cool. And like, let's see if I can find one of the pictures along one of the, here we go. Along the side of one of these things is, and I don't know if you're going to be able to tell very well, but like etched in this stone is actual Greek writing. And this is thousands of years old. This is not just like, oh, this was from, you know, like 100 years ago. This is like from 2000 years ago.
Cool.
I don't know the exact date, but somewhere around there. And this is the actual writing that's etched in the stone and it's still there.
Wow.
Which is just cool. It was just really, really cool to be able to see. And it's on the side hill and whatever. So that was really cool. I enjoyed that. There's like an ancient stadium up top that we walked to. And then there was like mystic waters. I don't remember what the deal was with the water, but supposedly the water had like magical properties or something. And it's like natural coming out of the hill or a spring or a something. It doesn't look very natural because there's like a thing around it, but like, you know, I mean, it looks old because it is old.
Yeah.
And I drank the fancy pants waters. So
ooh.
I'm magical now.
Is it basic water?
You know, I didn't bring my pH meter to know.
So we don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah. It probably is though.
Yeah, probably.
If it's mystic.
Yeah. So then we went the rest of the way and got into the ferry, which was an overnight ferry. And you and I live in Seattle.
Yes.
We have a very specific view when we think of ferry. That is not the same thing as this. This is an overnight ferry, which can have like regularly has, say, semi trucks on it. So it was very large, but it was not, I wouldn't say like cruise ship, definitely not in quality. So here it is kind of from the back.
I mean, it looks like a ferry. It just looks like you blew up a ferry all big.
Yeah, it's like a really, really big ferry or like a small cruise ship, except not fancy like a cruise ship.
So what were the accommodations like?
So we had cabins. I do have a picture of the cabin if you want to see it.
Yeah, I do. I'm interested.
I was in this room here.
Oh, I mean, that feels like a cruise kind of.
Yeah, it does. Like the really, really small rooms, you know, interior, no windows, and that kind of thing that looks almost like a door that's above the bed. That's a second bed. There's like a bunk bed that I pushed up because it was only me. And when that was down, the room felt significantly smaller.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, and this is, I think, taken with a wide angle lens too.
Yeah,
so
it was totally. Yeah, you can tell.
Not very big, but it was overnight and we were only there for one night. It was fine. It was sufficient. It did what
I mean, I was picturing like old timey train car accommodations.
Mm-hmm.
So then since I was picturing that, this looks very nice.
Well, the ship did have like, you could do different like levels. And there was a level of you just sit in a seat overnight as opposed to have a cabin.
I mean, I guess that's what flights are like. So
I was
like, that's
exactly
awful.
Like
and I was like, wait, we go on flights overnight.
We
sometimes.
Do. And it's awful.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. You wake up all messed up.
Yeah. Tall people that can never like fully extend your legs.
Yeah. You tall people. I'm sorry.
Us tall people. It's,
by the way, take me with you note. Because that's where we've talked about this, because we've talked on this podcast about what we prefer with like splurges, and like you really like whenever you can get the extra leg space, and you have thoughts on like what type of plane you're on for which seat you want and everything. And since we've had those conversations, I have flown more, and I still, you could just put me a little ball and I would be just fine on an airplane.
Which is great. I'm so happy for you.
But you know what's funny is I have a friend who's my height, and she has, I mean, not leg length struggles, but she like bought herself this really special pillow for her next long trip that like, it looks like a big cube with different holes in it. And you like put your arms in a hole and you can like put your face like down
in
a hole.
Those.
And she was like, that way maybe I can sleep on the plane. And I was like, oh, I just lean my head over and fall asleep on the plane. But that's why I always get the window seat, because then I can lean against the wall. And as long as I lean against the wall, then I'm fine.
Yeah.
But
one of my friends,
I've been thinking about that. Yeah.
Yeah. One of my friend coworkers who traveled with me, she was like, oh, I always just like lean over and put my head on the tray. like the food tray thing.
I've seen people sleep do that way.
And I was like, why have I not tried that? It's because I can't fit.
Yes.
I'm too,
yes.
My torso is too, like, I can't do, like, I would have to be hunched. It's not, no, it's not a good option for me.
So. I've tried to do it and even I feel too squished in that direction. Like it feels too hunchy where it's so, no longer comfortable.
I'm also a light sleeper. Things wake me up easily. I usually don't sleep well the first night anywhere on someplace new. So like planes are just, all of the things are conspiring against me. On our way, once we got to Italy, we drove again across kind of the south end of the boot, but we stopped at a mozzarella farm and we got to see.
Ryan, was it buffalo mozzarella?
So here's the thing. It was just outside of Sorrento.
Okay.
And they talked about the buffalo mozzarella.
Yes.
And because Sorrento is so steep, none of the farms have enough room for buffalo. So they don't actually have buffalo there, even though the buffalo make the better mozzarella. And they talked about that.
Interesting. I'm glad they addressed it.
They did.
Because when I heard of that, when I was in Italy and heard about buffalo mozzarella, I thought it was kind of like that type of garlic that's really big. That's called like elephant garlic.
Oh, yeah.
It has nothing to do with elephants. I thought it was like that. You know, it was like, oh, it's just big mozzarella.
Oh no, it's actually made from buffalo milk.
Yeah, from water buffalo.
Yeah, water buffalo.
And so it was exciting learning, like, oh, that's actually like a legit thing then, not just like a cute term for big mozzarella.
yeah. So it was cool. We stopped at this farm where you know, this old Italian, well, not that old, but older Italian woman was like pulling the mozzarella and like made it in front of us.
Oh, I love her.
A roll. I thought you would.
I love her.
Isn't she cute?
Yes.
Yeah. And so we heard a little bit about that. And then they took us inside and they also made olive oil. And they had us try these different like infused olive oils. And some of them were really good. I'm trying to remember which one I liked the best. I think I actually liked the orange the best, but the lemons are big in Sorrento and in that area as well. So they had a lemon infused one that was also really good, but they were all actually really good. And I'm not that big like of an oil fan. Like I don't particularly like olive oil, just like in general. I don't like olives. So I don't particularly like
infused olive oils. Plate. Oh boy.
But those were very nice. Very nice.
You can do it at home. So I do it with garlic and rosemary. You just stick in your olive oil and then it's infused eventually. So that's very fun. But also you can go to olive oil and vinegar shops like around where we live and all over the place. And now they have all these infused ones. So if I learn that that's something you like, or other, maybe listeners are going to do this.
There you go.
But like infused olive oils are very fun. I used to buy a rosemary infused one and put it on my popcorn. And then I had rosemary popcorn and it was amazing.
Nice.
It was very good.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I want to go there.
Yeah. And actually, I'd love to go back to Sorrento. So we were in Sorrento only for one night. And I don't know if you've heard of the Amalfi Coast.
Yes.
Before. So technically, Sorrento is on the north side of the Amalfi Peninsula. But the quote unquote Amalfi Coast is technically the south side, is my understanding. So we weren't actually on the Amalfi Coast, but we were basically on the Amalfi Coast. Okay. So, and it was beautiful. We didn't have a lot of time there. But it was really, really cool because, well, for a lot of reasons, but it overlooked and we drove past Mount Vesuvius, which is a volcano. And our hotel was the most amazing hotel possibly that I've ever stayed at.
What?
And I'm going to show you pictures. This is a picture that I took from the hotel.
Okay, I would like to go there.
Yeah.
That's so it's like
up
dream vacation.
Oh, it's amazing. I'm going to like cycle through some pictures. This was like sunset. And of course I took a bunch.
There is a view. There is a pool. The view is of the ocean.
Yep.
I mean, this looks like you could like advertise San Diego with photos like this.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. And that mountain right there in the background and kind of the center, that's Mount Vesuvius. So you're also looking back at Mount Vesuvius. And I mean, it was beautiful there at night with like the city, that's wow, Sorrento down there. And then you've got the Mount Vesuvius with all of the kind of city lights around that in the background. And then there's water. Beauty. It's the Mediterranean. Like, it was gorgeous. This hotel was so impressive.
Wow. Yeah. That's so fun.
We had to take a small little mini bus because the roads are so windy that our regular size bus didn't fit.
Oh my goodness.
So we had to unload the bus, and they had to send like these little, like, but they were basically big vans to like pick us up and our luggage and take it all the way up.
Oh my goodness. And what's the name of the hotel? Like, in case our listeners want to stay there.
It's the Hotel Gran Paradiso.
I mean, that's exactly what I want it to be named. So
doesn't that sound right? Yes. Based on those pictures.
Yes.
Yeah. It was great.
I love that. Nice.
Then we were up and out again because like boom, 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 we're moving.
Yep.
And we were on our way to Rome, but we stopped in Pompeii on the way. Have you been to Pompeii, Cheryl?
No, I have not been to Pompeii.
Oh, I loved Pompeii. Granted, again, sucker for ruins.
Yeah.
That's part of it. Yes. But here's the thing. It's a city. It's not like
really
a ruined building or a ruined region. It's an entire city.
Wait, are you serious? I don't know this. I don't know what it's like to visit.
You don't know
Pompeii.
Anything about Pompeii?
Well, I know what happened, but I don't know like what it looks like today or what it's like. Is it because there was a volcano, so it's just like frozen in time?
That's part of it, yes. That's why also there were like no people. They couldn't find people or things.
Because they were burned?
No. So the people actually fleed Pompeii when Vesuvius was erupting, and they all went down like to the coast. And this is really sad, but they like found them like encased in rock that was lava, like hiding in caves and things.
Oh, that's really sad.
It is really sad. Aww. It is really sad. But I heard about that for the first time in probably junior high or high school on some documentary on like the History Channel or something, and was fascinated by it and have like been curious about Pompeii ever since then.
Okay, you got to show me.
I'm dying. I'm not going to just like zoom into one or two pictures. I'm going to like skim through some of pictures.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's going to help me go faster for part of it, but also just kind of give you flavor of how big and how much. So they've got like this whole like entryway area with all these columns.
Wow.
And then they have an entire amphitheater with a stage where they would do things. The roads are still there. And there are ruts. I don't know if I've got pictures of them, but of where the wagons and the chariots like wheels went over so much time. They're like ruts in the stone, in the roads.
This is like the ultimate ghost town then.
Oh yeah. Oh, and it's amazing. And on some of the walls, okay, like this is like art that they had painted on the walls. That's still there.
Is it still the original art? Okay, so I want to understand. Is it still there because of the nature of the way the city was destroyed, or because nobody's lived there, so nobody's messed with it?
I think it's the second one, because nobody lived there. I think this was like all buried underneath stuff and people didn't know it was there. And then they found it at some point because they're still actively excavating and exploring these ruins. Yeah.
I don't know like any of this. This is so interesting. Yeah. So was this all under ash then? That's why it's not like destroyed by lava?
I don't think it was all under ash, because I don't know that they would have been able to get all that. That's a good question. I don't know for sure exactly where it all was.
It's interesting seeing grass there too. It's like surprising.
Well, because it's like grown over all of the things.
Sure, but like it is fun. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of funny.
Yeah. But like all of these, you can see like the art and like remnants of art on the walls.
It did get like frozen in time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the bathroom?
This one I don't think is, but one of the ones was. Yes, they were toilets. Okay, here's like the road, and I don't know if you can tell.
Oh my gosh.
You see the ruts?
Yes.
Right? And like, look how long that, like, this is a city, like two-story buildings.
Wow.
Yeah.
I need to go there.
It was so cool.
I really like a ghost town, and some of them are, like, you think it's going to be really cool, and you go, and you're like, oh, okay, that was two buildings, you know, and then yep. It's like, meh,
mm-hmm.
This is amazing.
Yeah. And like, this is, I think, the remnants of like a bath house. Cause you know, the Greek and Roman baths that they had. And then let me see if I can find more side streets. And we just kind of like, we had a guide, but she kind of like wandered around and showed us all these different things. And like, it just keeps going and going. And I'm trying to find the,
there's like a fountain with the mouth open.
Yeah. Yeah. And then this, it's not a great picture, but like there's this huge giant square, right? Wow. And like, that's Mount Vesuvius in the background. Like that's the volcano. So this is how close they were to the volcano. And they didn't know what a volcano was until this happened. They had never seen an eruption. So like, they didn't know what was happening when it happened.
And they didn't know it was possible.
No, no.
That's so sad.
It's so sad, but so fascinating. I mean, just look at all of the...
But I guess it makes sense because honestly, like your knowledge back in the day, before the news, before the internet, before all these modern things we have, was like local knowledge. Like what the locals know is probably what you know.
Yep. Now these are kind of sad, but these are...
Oh, this is interesting too. Is that a dog or a donkey?
I think it's a donkey. But these are... These ones are real. They actually pulled these from...
Is that fur?
Pompeii.
On the face?
It might be a little bit of fur, yeah. And then there's... Unfortunately, there's some people...
Oh, a child.
Yeah. Yeah. Couple children.
Oh, they like were bracing themselves.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's very sad, but it's also
so interesting too.
Fascinating. Yeah. So again, very sad, but also very, very interesting and fascinating.
Whoa. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's crazy. So that was Pompeii. Again, you could argue that that's like a historical site because it is. But to me, that's also a science site because
100%.
It's about the volcanoes 100%. And all of the preservation and all of those things. And I could have spent way longer there than we did. It was very, very cool. Wow. And again, that was just on the way to Rome.
Oh my goodness. So that was like, you didn't even spend a night there. That was just like a stop.
It was a stop on the way to Rome. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yep. So we still have two cities, Ryan.
We do. I'm doing my best. And then we got to Rome. And
this was your first time in Rome.
Yep. This was my first time. There's the Vatican. This was my first time in every location that we were in, actually. I had never been to any of these places. So I've been to Italy twice before this, but never to any of these cities in Italy, usually farther north.
That's so cool.
So it was cool. It was cool. I'm not going to go through all of the things that we did in Rome, but there were a lot of cool things in Rome. And there were also some things that were less cool. I am, however, going to highlight the best thing in Rome. You know what it's going to be.
Gelato?
Ooh,
look at that dark color.
So
looks like real gelato to me too.
Oh, it is. Okay. Oh, it is real gelato. And because our tour manager is from Rome, he grew up in Rome, he lives in Rome, he knows Rome. So I told him that my goal was to have gelato every day on the trip. And was like, when we're in Rome, you need to tell me where the best gelato place is because you're a local, you know this. And this is where he took us. We may have been twice.
Oh my goodness.
And it was
excellent.
It was so good.
Were you able to spot fake gelato?
Yes.
Isn't that fascinating once you know?
It is fascinating. And one of our other guides when we were in Florence actually told us the same thing.
Love it.
Yeah.
Even around here, I'll peek at places. I mean, you know, I don't have the same expectations around here, but when they claim the word gelato, like that means something. There's a definition and a recipe, you know, of like how gelato is made that isn't being followed when people make fake gelato. And so it's really interesting.
So the other two like big things that we did in Rome, technically one of them was in Rome and one of them wasn't, but we went to the Colosseum.
Good.
Impressive.
They had scaffolding around a lot of it because they were doing, they were cleaning it.
Mm-hmm.
So state was it in?
There is still scaffolding, just probably in different places. And they're still doing restoration. I think a lot of it has been cleaned. compared to when you were there, I guess. We had some issues getting in and things, but I'm gonna bore you with all those details. But inside was also pretty impressive. I actually think I was more impressed with the outside than I was the inside. Not because there isn't cool stuff on the inside, because there is. But I think I just knew less about what I was looking at and had questions and didn't really have anyone to ask just because of the way some of the timing went. We had to kind of rush a little bit. I had to kind of rush. Not everybody did, but
okay.
But it was still very, very cool. Definitely worth it. I very much enjoyed it.
It's impressive. I think the downside is how touristy it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like not as fun because of the number of people there or the number of people who are trying to target tourists by like selling things or scam you or things. So like, but it's also like, it's one of those things that makes sense why people are flocking there.
Yeah. Oh, 100% it does. And then we went across to the Forum very briefly. We didn't have a lot of time. I don't know if you went to the Forum or not.
We went to just outside of it where we could see part of it. We did not go in.
So I didn't really walk through it. But again, our tour manager who knows Rome took us up to this viewpoint to look down on the Forum. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And so it was very, very cool. And this is not even the whole thing. You can even see the Colosseum kind of there in the background, just kind of as a reference. And then like the ruins of a basilica and a temple and all sorts of things.
Oh my gosh, I want to go back to Rome. just seeing that, I was like, ooh, I need to go see more things there.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. And then we went to the Vatican. So that was the other big thing.
Okay, so questions.
Yep.
The two big things in the Vatican, well, to me, would be climbing to the top and seeing the Sistine Chapel.
Climbing to the top of what?
Of the dome.
Oh, okay. Well, did not get to go into St. Peter's, St. Paul's.
Oh, you didn't even go in there at all?
Didn't even go in. No, we didn't have the time. I was very disappointed.
I'm gonna give you a little bit of a consolation. I don't know if consolation is the right word. I think it is. You've been in a cathedral in Europe, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, you're fine.
Okay.
I mean, it is very huge. It is very impressive. And then also, once you go in a couple European cathedrals, unless there are those unique ones like La Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. I mean, there's those ones that really stand out. There's nothing I could even tell you in particular about it other than I got to go up to the top of the dome. But actually being in the church, it was a big cathedral in Europe. Okay. So I think you're okay.
That makes me feel a little bit better. the Vatican was crazy. The only place that I can remember that was as crowded and stressfully crowded, like for me, was Versailles in France. Here is a picture of once we stood in the line and entered kind of the lobby area of the Vatican. This is what it looked like. It's like wall to wall people. It was.
Yeah. When Lisa and I were there, I don't think it,
and
it was very busy though. We actually had a couple reservations there for different things and we missed one just because of like getting through the crowd, not even getting through lines, but just getting through the crowd and getting there was longer. Okay. But did you go to the Sistine Chapel?
Yes. Now
tell me.
Yes.
Tell me.
Went to the Sistine Chapel. The Sistine Chapel was cool. It was different than I expected. The shape of the room was different than I expected. It was like a cube almost. I thought it was like long and rectangular, and it's not.
Because I think the way it gets photographed, it looks really
long. It must. Like, or maybe just like seeing the ceiling, when you see like a picture of the ceiling, it's like long and rectangular maybe. Like, I don't know. I don't know where that idea comes from. But that was definitely what was in my head, and it did not look that way when I was there. And it was also way higher than I thought the ceiling would be.
It's very high.
It's
funny
high.
Because there's so much detail. And for people who don't know, I mean, the famous image that we know from the Sistine Chapel is the creation with God. Here, you and I can do it. Yep. With the...
You have to turn your hand. I guess it depends on which.
Oh, yeah, this way. There we go.
I don't know.
some like hand. Yeah. Like, and so we see, that's the imagery. It's like seeing the Mona Lisa, honestly, with how often we see that imagery, I think.
Yes.
Is that piece of it. And I think I didn't learn until pretty, not too far in advance from when I went there myself, that that was actually a really small part of a very detailed ceiling with all sorts of different biblical imagery on there. The creation just being one small piece of it.
Yep.
My experience was like, I mean, it was so, so crowded in there.
Yes.
And it's the only place in the whole museum where there's no photos. So
there's not supposed to be photos.
Oh, were there people taking pictures?
Oh, I saw people. Yeah. Quite a few people taking pictures and video and
So but when I was
so
there,
many people, they couldn't enforce it.
They had so many staff walking around, keeping an eye out that like they were catching people left and right and stuff. But so I guess like the benefit to not taking pictures is that you can just like really focus on it. But I was like standing with my arms in like in this little crowd, just like looking up and, but it's so far away. It is hard to catch. Yeah.
It is.
All the detail. It's so interesting.
Well, and then at least from when we did it, we you enter on one side. And if you stay facing the way that you enter, it's all upside down. So like I ended up going through to the other side more towards where you would exit and then like filter towards the back wall. So I could look back and see it all facing the direction that it wasn't upside down.
I think the funny part to me too about it was that you go through, I mean, you go through the whole museum before you get there. And that's the last thing. And obviously they do that. So it's like one more thing. And there's like all these signs like Sistine Chapel, just around the corner and 50 corners more. But also you go through, every room has painted ceilings in it.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yes. Well, there's one more thing, Cheryl. And it's interesting that you mentioned the Mona Lisa. We've talked about the Mona Lisa before and how hyped it is, underwhelmed we were, all of those things. So this is, I would say this is a Mona Lisa adjacent thing. It's not anything against the Sistine Chapel. I feel like it was as impressive as I expected it to be. It was, you know, not more impressive, not less impressive. It was about what I expected. It's like, okay.
So we could add this to the scale.
We can add this to the scale. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's right there in the middle.
Redwoods being the most extreme, or redwoods being on one. However,
what no one told me about was the world's longest hallway that comes after the Sistine Chapel.
I don't even remember that.
Oh my goodness. So you exit the Sistine Chapel and there's this other like small little thing that of course has painted ceilings, and then you turn this corner and then there's a hallway that goes on forever. I am not exaggerating, Cheryl, because I took pictures. The first picture that I have outside of the Sistine Chapel, and then the picture that I have when we finally made it to like the third gift shop that's at the end of this hallway, half an hour.
What?
Half an hour.
Has this changed since I was
I have no idea. And it is straight. It is one hallway. It just keeps going.
You walked for 30 minutes.
Yes. Now, granted, I did stop and look at some things periodically, but I was not like spending like 10 minutes at a time looking at things.
This is not in my brain. That very well might have been the case when I was there, and it is not a memory
like,
that I
have. I don't know that this like shows it necessarily, but like here's a room and here's a doorway. There's another room. There's a doorway.
Oh, that's
there's
so another funny.
Room
that looks
in
like
there.
Mirrors.
And there's a doorway, and there's another room in there, and there's another doorway. And, like
That actually, Ryan, that looks like your illusion museum.
It does, doesn't it? it does, but it's not, and it literally kept going.
I want to know. I'm going to have to ask Lisa if she remembers.
Oh my gosh, it was ridiculous. I did, however, when we get to the end, there's this funky spiral staircase. And I say funky because it's spiral, but like the stairs are weird in that they're not evenly spaced. They change how high they are and what angle they're at as you go down. It was super weird. But from the bottom, I took a picture looking up, and this is one of my favorite artsy pictures that I took.
Oh, I love it.
Isn't that pretty?
That, yeah, that'd be like a really good like desktop wallpallpaper or something
too.
Like it's really fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that a lot.
Yeah. So that's okay. The Sistine Chapel. Those two things were the day. Oh, well, I mean, I guess there was one other important thing that we did that day too.
What? Oh, gelato.
More gelato. Yeah. We went back to the same gelato place. Yeah. We went to the Trevi Fountain that night and we went to the Steps. Which, by the way, first of all, Spanish Steps, not impressive. They're just stairs.
Yeah.
Second of all, do you know they're only called the Spanish Steps in English? That is not a direct translation from what they're called in Italian. I don't know what it is because I don't speak Italian. But our tour manager, I was like, Spanish Steps? Because as we were walking, I noticed a Spanish flag. And I was like, is that the Spanish embassy? And he's like, yeah, that's why they call them the Spanish Steps. It has nothing to do with Spain. They didn't build the steps. They're not in charge of the steps. It has nothing to do with it. Just in English, we call it the Spanish Steps because they're near the Spanish embassy. That's it.
La Scalinata? Scalinata? Sure. Scalinata! Like that?
Yeah, just like that.
That's their proper name, it says.
Makes sense.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I did not know that. That's a fun fact.
So if you're thinking about going to the Spanish Steps, I would say, if you have extra time, fine. Otherwise, it's not worth it. I was like, well, supposedly there's a view up at the top. So I walked to the top. It's not even a great view from the top.
No, there's not better views. Yeah.
Nope. That's a Mona Lisa level right there.
Mm-hmm. I think we had kind of heard it was meh. And then we had time.
Yeah.
So we went there. We actually went to a really cute tea shop nearby though and had some tea, and that was adorable. Uh-huh. We had a little British moment there, so that was fun. All right, we got to move on, Ryan.
I know. I got one more city. We're almost there.
Okay.
We're almost there. One more city, and here we are in Florence.
Oh my gosh, the Duomo.
Right? And
it's beautiful.
Like I had seen pictures. Right here. This is it. So my group leader's manual from the tour company that they sent me has a picture of the Duomo on the front. So like I've clearly seen this, but for some reason in person, it is so much more impressive. The colors and the shapes are the green, just,
the yeah, green the green in person.
Oh my gosh. It was so cool.
It's like the Redwoods. You've seen photos.
It is. It's really, really cool. I really enjoyed Florence. We were there on a Friday and a Saturday, and obviously on Saturday it got really busy. And so I think I enjoyed it partly more on Friday because there were fewer people. It wasn't as crowded, but it was just cool. And we did get to climb to the top of the Duomo,
Cheryl, and it was
really cool. I'm so glad you recommended it. I loved it. We ended up having everybody except for one person in our group actually did the climb.
Really?
And the one person who didn't do it, it's because she is Italian and she's done it before.
Okay.
And so she was like, okay, I don't
then that's acceptable.
Again. Right? And so
I'm so glad you did it. It's so weird to describe it because I think when you and I were talking about it, you were kind of like, sure, I guess if we have time to climb a bunch of stairs, you know what I mean? And it was like, no, this is really cool. And it's unique to be in a dome. Because I mean, if you've gone to the top of like a building, like the Eiffel Tower, you know, these other things, you're like, okay, I've been to the top of a building in a famous place, but it's different being in a dome. It's so interesting.
It is. Well, and then I, of course, because that's what I do, I took pictures. And one of the things that's cool is like, eventually you get high enough and you can see the curve of the dome that you are going up. Right.
And so
in between here, like, so what's underneath you in this picture is the dome inside. That's facing down. That's like painted and has all of the great things on it. And then above you is the dome that's on the outside. And then at least in this one, there's like a little skylight.
I want you to go back and listen to the episode where I described this to you, because now I want to know, like, now that you've been there, if you feel like you understand my description, because I think at the time you were like, what do you mean you're on the inside of the dome?
Well, I think I asked you, like, I understood before I got there what it meant. But yes, when you first described it, I didn't understand. I thought, like, it was, you said, like, you climb on the inside of the dome. And I was like, so, like, it curves. Mountain. How do you not climbing. Fall down? Because like, you're on the, I thought it was the inside of the dome, as opposed to, like, in between parts of the dome.
Yeah.
And there is a section, and I think you mentioned this, I think, because there's a section partway up where you are like partway up, I guess, I don't know how to, where you like come out and like you are at like-
You're at the base of the dome part.
Part yes. starts, yeah. Yeah, and so you can actually like look and look around and see stuff mm-hmm. from yeah. that perspective. And like you can look down, like, so there's looking down. And so that part's cool too. I think that part was cool too.
Okay, but yeah. Now I do need to hear about your science things in Florence okay. because you saw some science stuff.
We did, and one was no good and, well, ish. So we went to two different museums in Florence that were science related. Okay. One was the Galileo Museum. So Galileo Galilei, you know, him. I'll show you a great picture of Galileo Galilei. You ready?
Yeah.
Here you go. Do I do a good impression?
He looks like Zeus.
He does kind of look like Zeus. Yeah. So that's Galileo. And this was, it wasn't just Galileo's stuff in the museum, but a lot of it was. And one really weird thing that they have in this museum is Galileo's finger. Or one of his fingers?
What? Why?
That's his finger.
But why?
I don't know. Because apparently they cut it off when they like exhumed his body from somewhere and moved it to a different tomb or something. And I don't know why. But there it is.
That's also not how long fingers are. I'm very confused by this. It looks like a tree branch.
Well, I mean, maybe the size is, because it's like, if you go all the way, like the bone goes all the way down.
Ew.
Because like I need this more part here is like the, jo- why the joint. Did they I think it's like this. Well, you can't see
just
that.
Just a finger, like, was it to prove know. Something?
I don't know. Well, what, no, because like, he's already been dead for quite a while. Like maybe a couple hundred years. I don't know why.
That's the first finger he used to like, point to a star or something. I mean, like it needs to be related to something and it's not, and I'm missing, okay, I'm missing this, the piece.
I'm missing the piece too. Sorry. This though is the thing I was the most excited about. Doesn't
look is that his telescope?
That's his telescope. Those two are his telescopes. Cause one of the things that Galileo did is he was the first person to use a telescope to look at things in space.
Oh my goodness.
We saw the moons of Jupiter for the first time. No one knew that there were moons around other objects other than the Earth. They only knew about the moon. And he looked and he saw Jupiter and he saw these other bright things and he tracked them over time going around Jupiter. And that was the evidence that said, yes, there are other things that go around things other than the Earth. And that was the scientific evidence. We talked about this just a couple of lessons ago that led to the idea that the Earth is not the center of the entire universe or solar system. And so I was really fascinated by this. I thought it was very cool. Most of the students, this museum was a bust. I think I've talked about this before of what I think it takes to be a good museum versus a not good museum.
Yes.
And it needs to bring you along and tell you the story so that you don't have to know the story. This museum did not do that. There was no telling of the story.
This museum did not tell you why his finger was there.
I mean, it and might have museum, in Italian, but
a good museum would like, then they'd have an experience where you're buried and then they exhume you and cut off your finger. I mean, like the whole immersive, and they didn't do that.
No.
Yeah.
So that museum, unless you really are a huge science person, I wouldn't actually recommend that museum. I enjoyed it. Most of the students were bored. The other museum we did in Florence, however, I would recommend to anybody because it does bring you along, and that's the Da Vinci Museum. Okay. And just to give you a contrast, remember how we saw a bust of Galileo? No, this is not Da Vinci, but this is one that you see when you very soon enter the museum. And then there's another one. Let me forward to show. And then there's this one.
These look like rejected Star Wars Muppets.
Oh, they kind of do a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, they're very funny. So this is, it's very cool. They took things from Da Vinci's like art that he had done. Like he designed a lot of devices that didn't ever get built, but he like designed them and they built a lot of them. And so that's what this floor is all of these things that he came up with and designed and whatever, like a flying contraption, all sorts of things. It's very, very cool. But then there were all sorts of rooms where you could play with things and learn about gears by like moving them and picking them up and turning them around. And I don't know if you can see, but like then in the background, they have the blown up samples from his actual like notes and diaries.
I love that.
Which I think is really cool. Obviously it was in Italian and I couldn't read it, but maybe it was Latin even. I think it was Italian. So I couldn't read it, but it was still cool. Like, okay, this is the thing. These are the notes. And again, not the originals, but still to kind of show those. And then this was cool. This was the contraption for how they built the Duomo.
Oh my goodness.
Which I guess he was involved in somehow.
Oh,
so like
goodness.
This is like this whole thing about how they built the Duomo and like constructed
it. Oh, very I love cool. that.
Yeah, very cool. So there were all these things. And then downstairs, I'm going to skip through some of these things. Then downstairs, there was a whole bunch of things where, again, you got to like turn cranks and try these things and do all of these different things. And it was very, very cool and very engaging. And the students had a really, really good time. They enjoyed it immensely. Cool. So that museum, I highly recommend because it's very interactive. And I think for a lot of different ages, obviously we had high school students, but I think there was stuff that, you know, an elementary student could be interested in too, and obviously adults. So that was this other science thing that was very cool.
Nice.
I feel like there's one final thing that we need to talk about in Florence.
Okay. Yes.
And then we can wrap up. And it's kind of like, if you go to Florence and you don't do this thing, we saw David.
Oh, good. The David is another like opposite of the Mona Lisa, where it's like larger and more impressive and accurate
than
you think it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, one of the things that surprised me, so you walk in and this is like the first room that you kind of walk into. And there's this like, that one's plaster, but there's a sculpture and there's a lot of religious art around. And I don't completely know why, but there's a lot of religious art in this thing. And then off to the right from this perspective is this hallway, and they have a whole bunch of musical instruments, which is kind of fun. Including like a couple of Stradivarii, I'm not sure which one of those is true. And some weird instruments. I'm like, that's made up. That's not a real instrument.
They looked very like Dr. Seussy, like it looked like in The Grinch with the...
Yeah. Like I want to call it the Hoagity Bogity, but that's not it. But it's something like that.
Flams.
Something like that. Anyway, it was cool. And then to the right is the hallway with the David, like right away.
It's like the opposite of the Sistine Chapel, where they're like, hold on, around the corner, you're almost there. This one's like, here you go, if you just want to come.
But like, you come down, and then it's this hallway. And I mean, I know you've seen it, so.
Yes.
But like, and then David's just there. It's like, oh, like, there we are. And I was like, I don't want to just like go right away. It's like, I want to build up to this. Like, this is like, no, I'm not ready yet. I can't. So I like went and looked at other things and then worked my way here. But one of the things I also liked was, as you can see kind of on the sides, are some sculptures that he hadn't actually finished. He had started, but hadn't finished yet. And that was incredibly fascinating to me. And I spent quite a bit of time looking at these, where it's like, you can see it like partway done.
Yeah.
And I think, if I remember right, because it's Michelangelo, right? Michelangelo's David.
Yeah, and I think he's the artist who said that, like, all you do to make a sculpture is remove every part that's not the thing you're making.
Exactly. Like, they're already there.
Which is, like, hilarious because that's making a lot of assumptions about other people's skill levels. and it's assuming that you are capable of doing that. But the concept behind that is very, like, it's a beautiful concept. Yeah.
And that's what these look like.
Yes. Yes.
Which I think
makes you think of that. You're like, oh, he found the leg and he has not found the hand yet.
Yeah. And then it's also cool to me, and you'll see this, but like texture. So like this is like a rough, like it's still rough. It's not smooth. Mm-hmm. And then you look at other parts. Let me see if I can find it. There was a leg somewhere that I, oh, maybe it's on this one. Yeah, I think so. Where you can see like the left leg, where like this first part here, I guess it's not the left leg, it's the right leg, but it's on our left, it's smooth. And then you come down and it's not smooth anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like in process.
He made muscles. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, very impressive. Very impressive. And the David itself was also very impressive. So, Here it is.
The Mona Lisa, all the replicas we see are larger, and the replicas we see of the David are smaller than the real thing. So it's really cool.
Yeah. Here it is. This is the, you know, safe for work version.
There we go. Yes. You made him modest. Yep. So that's good.
Yeah. I was covering so that, you know, he's not embarrassed. So that none of you are embarrassed.
One
of the things that was really cool that we learned from our guide earlier in Florence was that the pupils of his eyes are actually carved in a shape.
What?
Did you know this?
No.
Yeah, they're in the shape of a heart. I don't know
why. What is he, a Disney character?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a picture of this?
I do. Well, I don't know if you can, like, I don't know that I would have known it was a heart if someone had told me it was a heart.
Okay, but show me,
I knew that before I went
in.
And then, I tried to get some close-up pictures. Let me see. I think I've got closer. Oh, that's not closer. Maybe go the other way. There you go.
Oh, my gosh.
You can sort of see that, like, they're actually heart-shaped.
Oh, my goodness.
Which I thought, that's kind of cool. Weird, but kind of cool.
You know what's funny, though? If you zoom out, like go to like another photo, you know what that line where the heart dips in on the top, it registers light. The eyeball is reflecting light off of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because the black part, our pupils, they don't, like when you look at a person, it's not all black. Like it's like reflecting different lights and stuff.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so amazing. He has like the folds of his eyelids. And I mean, it's so impressive.
It's so impressive. Yeah. It just, it's very, very impressive on so many levels.
Oh my goodness.
And then there isn't the world's longest hallway after that.
Congrats. Yeah.
Happy. Yeah. There were other things afterwards, but they were not, they weren't as impressive as the David, obviously. Yeah. But also I feel like that's okay. Cause like, this is what you come to see.
I don't need museums to be big either.
No.
I'm okay if it's like, hey, we were there for an hour. We saw what we wanted to see. Mm-hmm. Get on with our day. I'm good with that. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. Well, Ryan, I have a take me with you related question that we like to ask at the end of every episode of Take Me With You.
Okay.
And that is, Ryan, if you could take me with you to just one thing on this trip, what would it be and why?
That's really hard. I think I would probably take you to someplace you haven't been because I know you like to go to new places and you get excited for new things.
Cool.
So we would not go to Florence.
Okay.
We would not go to Rome.
Okay.
I think I would cheat. I think I would take you to Sorrento. Because
for the buffaloes. I know there's no buffaloes there.
No, but like the cheese, but it's the beautiful thing. We could go to that hotel, the Grand Paradiso, and then Pompeii is not very far, and which means we could also then go to Pompeii.
So if we're saying like we're going to make a day, we're going to make one day of the trip, then I'm going to like stay at the hotel, hang out by that pool, go meet the cute woman with the mozzarella, take shots of olive oil, and then walk up and down the streets of Pompeii. I love this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably what I do. Yeah. Because I think you would enjoy all of those things.
Yes. I mean, I would enjoy the whole trip, but you know.
Yes. Yes.
I love that.
Now that we are done with me sharing about my trip, Cheryl, it's time for your favorite part of the episode, the quiz.
But this was just like a trip report. And like
but also we talked about the mozzarella. Which has a quiz in it.
Okay.
It'll be fun. Gosh, it'll be fun.
I thought I was escaping that this week. Okay.
Nope. All right, here we go. First question. What is significant about Galileo's telescope?
It was the first time someone used a telescope to look at the sky instead of ships.
Mm-hmm. Or other things. I don't know what all they were looking at. Yeah. Which illusion is the best?
The Lord of the Rings one, obviously.
Obviously. Yep. Perfect. What is the name of the volcano near Pompeii?
Well, Vesuvius was... Mm-hmm. Is it Vesuvius?
That's it. Yep.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mount Vesuvius. You got it. What shape are David's pupils?
They're in hearts like this.
Hearts. And so she's smaller. Making the hearts with her, with her hands. Yes. Okay. And the last one, Cheryl, is an image-based question.
Oh boy. Do I have to click on the fire hydrants or something? Because I swear I'm not a robot.
I have no idea what that is in reference to.
Do you know what I mean? Like you like fill out a thing on a website and then you have to like click on the knobs.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, yeah.
Gotcha. Yes. Okay. So I will show you the picture in just a minute, but the question is, what is the significance of this image?
Oh boy.
And if you need a hint, I can give you a hint. Okay. Here we go.
I'm worried. It's funny. Oh, is it skiing?
No.
Oh, it looks like he's skiing.
That's kind of
is this
like
I mean, I'm gonna guess this is a Da Vinci thing.
It is a Da Vinci thing, yes. Do you want to describe it for anyone who's just
listening? It is a
listening?
Little wooden doll puppety type of thing. What's the word you used?
Maquette. It's like one of those like posable, like almost stick figure, but like three D stick figure that like artists can pose.
And it's skiing, even though Ryan doesn't want to admit it.
So why do you say it's skiing? What do you see that makes you say
I see
skiing?
Ski poles and then skis. It's standing on two blocks of wood that look like really thick skis. And
they're
then it has
really
poles
thick,
on its hand.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously just like using it to like hold him up, but he looks like a skier.
Okay. So would you like a hint?
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know. Okay. This actually is a connection between all three of the podcasts that you have done.
Oh no, what?
And I help make the link.
Is it C-3PO? That's not related to any of my podcasts, but he looks like C-3PO. Okay, wait. So I've done Old Maids, and then I did Take Me With You, and then I now do I Slept Through Science. And so it's science and travel and being single. Was Da Vinci single?
I mean, at some point he was.
Okay. Being single and...
No, you're trying way... No, you're trying way harder. Way harder. Okay. When I was on your first podcast...
Okay.
I think I was on twice, maybe three times.
Twice.
And there was... And I think one of the times maybe I didn't do it.
Oh no, you hosted my podcast once.
I did, but I was
and
also
you talked about
on
Ever
it once.
After and you talked about
yes.
Da Vinci.
Yes.
Okay.
No, huh?
Well, I mean, like that's a thing that happened.
It is a thing that happened. How does it relate to the sim? Okay, you're not getting it. This is...
No.
So in Ever After, Da Vinci does this. He walks with those... Yeah, on the lake. They're like floaty shoe things.
Oh!
Yeah!
Oh, yes! Yes!
This is like that thing. It's in the movie Ever After, which I talked about on your first podcast.
Oh, goodness.
And then now we're talking about it on this podcast, which is actually both of our other podcasts.
Okay. Got it. That's so
I don't know why you didn't get that. It was so easy, Cheryl.
Well, I was thinking about Ever After when you were showing me the models of the items that he designed. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I need to go watch that movie again. It's so good.
That is the best version of Cinderella.
Okay, that was a good quiz. I approve.
Good. I'm glad that you approve. Unfortunately, Cheryl, that is all the time that we have for our lesson today, but hopefully you did enjoy it.
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. Even though it was a little bit different than normal. Why don't you go ahead and pack up your stuff and get ready for my closing remarks. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at I Slept Through Science or on Twitter at Slept Science.
If you have dumb science questions like I do, please send them to us. You can email us at isleptthroughscience@gmail.com, or you can even send us a voice memo and we'll play it on the podcast.
Please rate and review our podcast to tell other people what you think about it. Subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode, and share about our podcast on social media.
Thank you to Beth Reed Miller for the artwork. You can check out more of Beth's artwork at Beth Is Something. Okay, great. Thanks. Bye.
The bell doesn't dismiss you. I dismiss you.